This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. Why do bad things happen to good people? Have you ever asked yourself that? Could it be that bad things now could have a wonderful result later on? Let's talk about this today. First, a word with my Father. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. That is why we have the website gospeltoafrica.com. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio and on shortwave radio. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.gospeltoafrica.com/contact, no matter where you live. You may write to us through the regular mail to this address, Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, USA. Our Vision for Christ website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address, gospeltoafrica.com/contact. On Facebook, facebook.com/gospeltoafrica. There is so much suffering in the world, and it is felt by everyone to one degree or another. Sometimes people suffer as the direct result of their own poor choices, sinful actions, or willful irresponsibility. In those cases, we see the truth of Proverbs 13:15, "The way of the treacherous is their ruin." But what about the victims of the treachery? What about the innocent who suffer? Why would God allow that? It is human nature to try to find a correlation between bad behavior and bad circumstances, and conversely, between good behavior and blessings. The desire to link sin to suffering is so strong that Jesus dealt with the issue at least twice. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus in John 9:1-3. The disciples made the mistake of assuming that the innocent would never suffer and assigned personal guilt to the blind man or to his parents. Jesus corrected their thinking, saying this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The man's blindness was not the result of personal sin. Rather, God had a higher purpose for the suffering. It is the will of God that everyone would be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God will do almost anything to bring about the salvation of the people he created, even if it means that they might lose a job so that they can work elsewhere in a new job with a Christian person who then shares the plan of salvation with the person who originally lost their job. Salvation of souls is the number one priority in the mind of God. God is all about bringing people into the kingdom of God through faith in his only Son, Jesus Christ. There was a time when Jesus commented on the deaths of some people killed in an accident. Here's how that goes. "These 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." That's Luke 13:4-5. In this case, Jesus again discounted the notion that tragedy and suffering are the result of personal sin. At the same time, Jesus emphasized the fact that we live in a world that is full of sin and its effects. Therefore, everyone must repent. This brings us to the consideration of whether such a thing as the innocent, technically speaking, even exists. According to the Bible, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Therefore, no one is innocent in the sense of being sinless. We are all born with a sinful nature, inherited from Adam. And as we've already seen, everyone suffers regardless of whether or not the suffering can be linked to a specific personal sin. The effects of sin permeate everything. The world is fallen, and all creation suffers as a result. Read Romans 8:22. Most heartbreaking of all is the suffering of a child. Children are as close to innocent as we will ever see in this world, and for them to suffer is truly tragic. Sometimes innocent children suffer because of the sin of others, neglect, abuse, drunk driving, etc. In those cases, we can definitely say that the suffering is the result of personal sin, just not their sin. And we learn the lesson that sin always affects others around us. Other times, innocent children suffer because of what some might call acts of God, meaning natural disasters, accidents, childhood cancer, etc. Even in those cases, we can say that the suffering is the result of sin, generally speaking, because we live in a sinful world. The good news is that God did not leave us here to suffer pointlessly. Yes, the innocent suffer, read Job 1 and 2, but God can redeem that suffering. Our loving and merciful God has a perfect plan to use that suffering to accomplish His threefold purpose. First, He uses pain and suffering to draw us to Himself so that we will cling to Him. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble," John 16:33. Trials and distress are not something unusual in life. They are a part of what it means to be human in a fallen world. In Christ, we have an anchor that holds fast in all the storms of life. But if we never sail into those storms, how would we know that? It is in times of despair and sorrow that we reach out to Jesus, and if we are His children, we always find Him there waiting to comfort and uphold us through it all. In this way, God proves His faithfulness to us, ensures that we will stay close to Him. An added benefit is that as we experience God's comfort through trials, we are then able to comfort others in the same way. Read 2 Corinthians 1:4. Second, He proves to us that our faith is real through the suffering and pain that are inevitable in this life. How we respond to suffering, especially when we are innocent of wrongdoing, is determined by the genuineness of our faith. Those with faith in Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, Hebrews 12:2, will not be crushed by suffering, but will come through the trial with their faith intact, having been tested by fire, so that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:7. The faithful do not shake their fists at God or question His goodness. Rather, they consider it pure joy, James 1:2, knowing that trials prove that they are truly the children of God. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him, James 1:12. Finally, God uses suffering to take our eyes off this world and turn them to the next world. The Bible continually exhorts us not to get caught up in the things of this world, but to look forward to the world to come. The innocent suffer in this world, but this world and all that is in it will pass away. The kingdom of God is eternal. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18:36. And those who follow Him do not see the things of this life, good or bad, as being the end of the story. Even the sufferings we endure, as terrible as they can be, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. So, could God prevent all suffering? Of course He could. But He assures us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. See Romans 8:28. Suffering, even the suffering of the innocent, is part of the all things that God is using to accomplish His good purposes, ultimately. His plan is perfect, His character is flawless, and those who trust Him will not be disappointed. The current Ebola epidemic in the Democratic Republic of the Congo is not the last we will see of plagues and pandemic diseases. Jesus referred to future plagues that will be part of the end-time scenario in Luke 21:11. The two witnesses of Revelation 11 will have power to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want, Revelation 11:6. Then in Revelation 15, it speaks of seven plagues wielded by seven angels as the final most severe judgments described in Revelation 16. So whether the current outbreak of Ebola and other pandemic diseases are part of God's judgment or the result of living in a fallen, sinful world, and whether or not it is a signal that the end time is beginning, our response should be the same. For those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, disease is a reminder that life on this earth is tenuous and can be lost at any moment. Without the saving blood of Christ shed for us, we will pay for our sins for all eternity in a hell that will make the worst pandemic seem mild. For the Christian, however, we have the assurance of salvation and the hope of eternity because of what Christ suffered on the cross for us. Is Jesus your personal Lord and Savior today? If not, you need to repent of your sins. That means to turn away from sinning. Sinning is doing what you know is wrong in the eyes of God. Go public. Tell others that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and that by faith you have become born again, if indeed you have done so. Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to actively repent of their sins, and to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God, through your only Son, Jesus. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Vision for Christ so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done to provide salvation for all people everywhere as they believe in Jesus. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. That is why we have the website gospel2africa.com. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio and on shortwave radio. You may contact us through our website contact form at www.gospel2africa.com/contact, no matter where you live. You may write to us through the regular mail to this address, Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, USA. Our Vision for Christ website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is gospel2africa.com/contact. And our Facebook page, facebook.com/gospel2africa. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor, praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in a loving, intimate relationship. I will leave you today with this text from Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.